Okay, well, Heavenly Father, I just ask that you show us and reveal to us your word today, and that what we hear is from you and not of ourselves. Father, lead us and guide us through your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to start in chapter 3 of Galatians. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? And isn't this the bottom line? People start focusing after they receive through faith the Lord Jesus. Churches will indoctrinate people into their churchianity instead of Christianity. Instead of continuing in faith and in repentance, people will start walking a direction of the flesh. We've seen it here in Galatia, where the teachers of the law would come in behind Paul and put people back under circumcision after they had already started out with the Spirit. And so Paul asked them, just one thing, I want to learn one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Now, how did we receive it in the first place? It wasn't anything we did. It wasn't anything we earned. It wasn't anything where we twisted God's arm and made Him do it. We received the truth by simply believing what we heard. You know, and this is an important point. You know, some people have been teaching in their churches, you know, that you're not saved till you get baptized. As if there's, you know, some kind of magic water or there was something magical in the act that you did. But baptism is just the confession of what has already happened when you believed what you heard. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You believed what you heard. You believed what you heard. And what you heard was the gospel. So Paul says, of just one thing, is all I'd like to know from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law? Or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish that after beginning with the Spirit, you're now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Now look at all the forms that human effort takes on. We will receive it in faith as a gift given to us. There's nothing we could do to earn it. There's nothing that we could do to make it happen. We received it in faith. And then what do? Immediately we start trying to figure out how we can fleshly keep it. And then people start going on different levels. Well, there's this level of... the first level is you believed in faith. Okay? The next level are things you do. Got to go get baptized now. Oh, well, that wasn't enough. Got to receive the baptism, the Holy Spirit. Oh, that wasn't enough. Now I got to get sanctified. Yeah. Oh, well, you know, you're not cleaning the church enough. You're not. You know, oh, well, you've got a family curse. How's that one, Flame? You got a family curse. Yeah, there's a curse on your family from generations before, and you've got to get rid of that family curse. Oh, well, hey, did you ever in your previous life before you received Jesus, did you ever mess with the occult? Oh, well, that's a special thing. You have to deal with that specially. You have to repent of occultism in your family for all its generations. Have you heard that one? Have we started out with the Spirit to go back to the means of the flesh? Have we started out receiving what Jesus gave us in faith, through faith, and then think we can earn it after that to keep it? You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? And that's exactly what it is. Who has bewitched people? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. And I'd like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish that after beginning with the Spirit, you're now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Have you suffered so much for nothing? If it really was for nothing. Does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard? It's all about faith, my friends. Faith. Consider Abraham. He believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. This is the gospel, a righteousness that comes by faith. This is the very gospel that was announced to Abraham before time. A righteousness that comes by faith. Not by what you can earn. Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. And this gospel that comes by faith, this salvation that comes by faith, was the gospel announced in advance to Abraham. And this is how all nations will be blessed through Abraham. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. And all who rely on observing the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written into the book of the law. And this is a bottom line understanding we need to get right off the get-go here. Everyone who is adopted into Jesus Christ, you were pulled out of that life that has limits. Let me explain. The life you lived before had limits. You were destined to die. There was a death sentence on that life. Your prayers could not get up there into the sky. The wages of sin is death. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. The perishable doesn't inherit the imperishable. You can't put new wine in old wineskins. Those rules of the law were boundaries, and you were contained within those boundaries. You'd never get past them on your own. Never. You were in a life that is under boundaries. But now you have died to what once bound you. You have died through Jesus Christ to what once bound you into the freedom and the glory of the living God through His Son, Jesus. Now you have been adopted into a life that has no limits. The only limit is what you believe or don't believe. The only limit are the limits you place on yourself by what you believe and what you don't believe. Now, who is the object of our faith? We're not talking about having faith in faith. There's no such thing. Faith isn't magic. Faith is no magical thing. It's no magical way. Our faith is only as good as the object of our faith. and the object of our faith is God, who is all-powerful. So if you have faith in God to believe, what is your limits? Does God have limits? No, God is not limited. God is omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent. He's everywhere at once. He knows everything all at once. He's all-powerful, all-seeing, all-knowing. He has no limits. And we have been adopted into that place where there are no limits. The only limit is whether or not you have faith to believe and receive what God has promised. Because what God has promised is what God will do. What God has promised is what God will do. So we've been adopted into this life without limits. And this is what it means by all nations will be blessed through Abraham. So those that have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. All who rely on observing the law are under a curse. Get it? Under. Under. You're under boundaries. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Clearly, no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith. Faith is our access. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, the man who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. He has redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. We can't receive it according to the flesh. We have to receive it through faith according to the Spirit. Brothers, let me take an example from everyday life, he says. Just as no one can set aside or add to a human covenant that has been duly established, so it is with this case. The promise is spoken to Abraham and to his seed. The Scripture does not say and to seeds, meaning many people, but to you and your seed, meaning one person, who is Christ. Think about that. To one person who is Christ. Just a second. Cursed is everyone. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. He became a curse for us. It is written, cursed is everyone who hangs from a tree. Now, if he became the curse for us, we're free from the curse. We're now out in the faith part. We're now out there in the faith part. We're not under the boundaries. We're not, because Jesus died for us. Well, excuse me, door. So we're free from the curse. I'm sorry. Anyway, the Scripture does not say that the promises of Abraham were made to seeds, but one seed. Not to seeds meaning many people, but to one seed meaning one person who is Christ. And what I mean is this, the law introduced 430 years later does not set aside the covenant previously established. The law doesn't set aside the covenant of faith. And what does it call this covenant of faith? It said it is the gospel that was announced in advance through Abraham, a righteousness that comes by faith. So the law introduced 430 years later never set aside the covenant of faith. And we're told that the Jews were supposed to have mixed it with faith. And this is what this means. Through the law, we should have seen we needed a redeemer. The law showed us what sin was, showed us our need to be redeemed from its curse, which was death. Through faith, we could have seen that God was going to provide the redeemer. But they didn't mix it with faith. They sought to establish their own righteousness. But Jesus is the seed to whom the promise was made through Abraham. And he has come. So if the inheritance depends on the law, then it no longer depends on a promise. But God, in His grace, gave it to Abraham through a promise. So then the purpose of the law was added because of transgressions until the seed to whom the promise referred to had come. The law was put into effect through angels by a mediator. A mediator, however, doesn't represent just one party, but God is one. Is the law therefore opposed to the promises of God? Absolutely not. Never was. For if a law that had been given could impart life, then righteousness certainly would have come by the law. But the Scripture declares that the whole world is a prisoner of sin. And because the whole world is a prisoner of sin, they fall under the curse of that law. So that what was promised being given through faith in Christ Jesus might be given to those who believe. And that's how God had always planned to give it to us. And this is why the covenant of the gospel of faith, a righteousness comes through faith, was given before the law was given. That was always primary. Because God had shown through Abraham that he would do it by his keeping his own promises, not by people fulfilling the law. But before faith came, and this is the point we're getting to, before faith came, we were held prisoners by the law. Think of what a prisoner is, and I want you to see it. You take a big box made out of bars, and you put a big gate with bars on it, and you lock it. That's a prisoner. The prisoner has boundaries. Those bars are boundaries. He can't get out. He's a prisoner. Boundaries are a prison. Do you understand that? Boundaries are a prison. This far you can come, and no farther. And we were held in those boundaries under the law. But I want you to see something about the law that we were prisoners under. Prisoners too. It's not just talking about the law of Moses here. Expand it. Let's look at it. What does it mean in Romans chapter 8 that this creation, and let me read this to you, Romans chapter 8. Remember now, boundaries. Remember a prison. We were prisoners under the law. Romans chapter 8. What does this mean? Verse 20, the creation, all of creation, the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated. What is liberated? Set free. Liberated from its bondage, that's being a prisoner, to decay. And brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. The creation itself was subjected to frustration by the will of the one who subjected it, God, in hope that it would be liberated from its bondage to decay. And this tells you about what we are in bondage to, is decay. Corruption decays. We learned that from a transgression of the law, what sin was. It was corruption inside us, killing us. And Jesus has come to set us free from the corruption of decay, the very decay the law identified in us. So we are being released from the boundaries of decay of the seen. Everything that is seen will decay. Look at the deeper picture. Everything that is seen will decay. Let me read to you in 2 Corinthians 4. Everything that is seen will decay. Jesus has come to release us from decay. Second Corinthians. Sorry, I've drank too much coffee over the years. Some of the pages stick together. Some of the pages are sticky. All right. Chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away. What is that outward wasting away? It's decay. Look in the mirror. It's decay. Though outwardly we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. That's the word planted in us. That's Jesus. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. That's the creation subjected to frustration. Two natures side by side. One decaying and the other eternal. And they were submitted by the one who submitted it in hope that the creation would be liberated, freed from its bondage to decay. For our light and momentary troubles, that's the frustration, are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen. Why? What is seen is temporary. That's what it says. We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, and what is unseen is eternal. So look at the limits of flesh. This is why you don't put new wine in old wineskins. This is why the perishable cannot inherit the imperishable. This is why flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Because it is decaying. Decaying. And Jesus has come to set us free from decay. Why must the old covenant pass away? Because what it governs is passing away. There's nothing left for it to govern. Now, when we just look at that, at the law, as being a shadow of things to come, as it says in Hebrews 10, but the reality is Christ. When we see this, the first man, Adam, was a living soul, the one who decays. The last Adam was a life-giving spirit, the one who does not decay. So can you see that we're talking about the difference between temporary and forever? So we're not just talking about the law of Moses anymore that governed a covenant that was passing away, but we're talking about flesh itself passing away. We're talking about creation itself passing away. And Jesus has come to set us free from all that binds us. Well, let's look at the things that bind us. All law binds. The law of physics binds. What goes up must come down, binds. Jesus has come to set us free, though, from all law. That regards the things that are seen. Jesus proved it in his life. He walked on water. It didn't bind him. Why? He walked by faith in his Father, as a man would have to. He walked according to a higher law, something that supersedes law, something that has always went beyond law, faith. Something that Abraham greeted afar off, a righteousness that comes by faith. Listen to this in chapter 4 of Galatians. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods. That's the powers and the principalities. They rule this place of the seen. They rule the place of the seen here. They rule this creation. Satan, that's what it means. Satan is the god of this world. Now, Jesus is severely dented and will, before it's over with, completely stomp his dominion. But Jesus has overcome already through his cross. He has taken the law out of the way. How did Satan... It tells us that Satan, and I want to read this to you, this is how Satan kept us in bondage. This is how Satan kept us in bondage. I want you to turn to Hebrews. Chapter 2. Since the children, verse 14, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery. Remember, we're talking about slavery and liberation. We're talking about bondage and prisoners. Who all their lives, he frees those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. What is that? Decay. Decay. Why does it tell us that creation was subjected to frustration? By the will of him who subjected it, in hope that it would see its release from this bondage to decay. So Jesus frees us from all those all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. What is the fear of death? It's the fear of ending. Ending. Now look at everything that's seen. Not only does everything that's seen have a beginning, but it also has an ending. Those beginning and end are two of the boundaries that hold us in slavery. Beginning and end are two of the boundaries that hold us in slavery. Can you see it? Boundaries. This far you shall come and no farther. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. And for this reason he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. And this explains why Jesus had to come in the form of a man, but in the form of a man who decays. He had to be the first man to change from the place of decay to the place of not decaying, which is forever. He had to be the first one to come out from out under the boundaries. He had to be the first one to overcome limits. And through faith in his Father, he did. Now we, through Christ, adopted into his righteousness, adopted into his life without end, adopted into his promises, adopted into his faith, adopted it up to his God, we are no longer in slavery. Remember how Satan, the god of this world, kept them in slavery through the fear of death. We have been freed from that fear. It's not a boundary for us forever, for anymore. This is eternal life, Jesus said, that you know God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. Through faith, we too will overcome. The standard that Jesus set down for us, the path that Jesus set down for us. Well, we're supposed to be walking in that faith now. That faith that says if you tell a mountain to be thrown into the sea, it will. We're not under boundaries. And we no longer serve those who by nature are not gods. They have no law to rule over us. We're dead to that law. We've escaped that boundary through faith. We're talking about a people who should be walking on the water here. Because we are free from law. And by faith, we are free from that bondage to decay. Because we know even as our spirits have been changed, our bodies will be changed. And as we access that power now to walk by the Spirit, to where we're not bound under the law, so we access what? Manifestations of that power that overcome beginning and end. As Jesus walked on the water. You want to know how miracles work? That's where it comes from. It's about a people who are not under law. It's about a people who are walking by a revelation of faith that all things are possible with God. A people who don't walk by what they see, but by what they know in their heart is true. We consider the realm that we can't be seen, because it is eternal, more real than what we see. So can you tell, is it not the truth that through the resurrection of the dead, through Jesus' death on the cross and the resurrection of the dead, we will escape the boundaries of this world? And it doesn't matter if it's the law of Moses. It doesn't matter if it's the Ten Commandments. It doesn't matter if it's the law of physics. Those are all laws meant to govern what is seen, and what is seen is passing away, and therefore the laws that govern them are passing away, and we are walking by a higher law. Well, if you're walking through in faith by that higher law now, then you're going to see manifestations of it in what you do. Jesus walked on the water. Peter's shadow, just by falling on people, healed them. You seeing what I'm saying? Faith is the realm where nothing is impossible. And your faith is only as good as the object of your faith, God. Is your faith truly in God? Do you have faith? The only limits, God hasn't put those limits on you for belief. If you're walking with God, you can believe anything you ask in His name will be done. And people want to add, if it's according to His will. Well, if you're a child of God, are you going to ask something that is against His will? If you're really walking in fellowship with God, don't you know His will? Amen. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods. We see how Jesus has overcome the powers and principalities and made an open show of them, triumphing over by His cross. Colossians chapter 2. But now that you know God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you're turning back to those weak and miserable principles, laws? How is it that you're turning back to those weak and miserable principles? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? Why would anybody free in faith want to go back under the law? Any law. Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? You're observing special days, months, seasons, and years. I fear for you somehow. I have wasted my efforts on you. And this is the truth of it. They're observing time. Seasons. Oh, it's not the time to do this. We're supposed to sow in season and out of season, because by faith it always grows. We don't depend on it on a time. When Jesus came and He cursed that fig tree, you know what that's a picture of? That fig tree is a picture of Israel trying to justify itself according to law and depending not upon God, but worshiping the law itself. Now, notice the Pharisees were good-looking on the outside, but inside they were full of dead men's bones. On the outside they looked real holy. Well, that fig tree looked like it had fruit. It had lots of leaves. It had the promise of fruit. But under its skirts wasn't anything, just like with the Pharisees. Wasn't a holiness there on the inside. And Jesus came looking for fruit. And there was no fruit because it wasn't the season for figs. It tells us plainly. But we see, even though it wasn't the season for figs, Jesus cursed it. Because cursed is anyone who's under the law and is observing times and seasons. Faith produces fruit in season and out of season. And that was the first covenant given through Abraham. The gospel revealed in advance that it's through faith and a righteousness that comes by faith, not of an observing the law. And Jesus is coming again, and it asks us, as he looked for fruit on that free fig tree and then cursed it, it tells us Jesus is coming again, and it asks us the question, will he find faith upon the earth? Will he? We're only limited by faith. Do you have it or don't you? That's what it comes down to. Do you believe God? Or do you not? Amen?